This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Like every other festival, religious celebration, or public holiday this year, Deepavali 2020 is going to be a quiet one. And this is heartbreaking for the Indians here in Malaysia, as the Festival of Lights is a celebration that is so full of color, so full of life. It's a reminder of the triumph of light over darkness, knowledge over ignorance, of good over evil. And most impacted by a quiet Deepavali this year will be the retailers and F&B owners that have brought us scrumptious Indian delicacies and elaborate ethnic wares at the bazaars and in their small little shops that we usually frequent this time of year. Also impacted are the social enterprises supporting Indian communities, not only here in Malaysia, but abroad. And to talk to us about what this year has been like and their expectations for Deepavali this week, I have on the phone with me right now, Jayashree Gopala Iyer from Lavanya Arts. Jayashree, thank you for speaking with me. I understand it's a very busy day at Lavanya Arts.
Yes, it is.
So before we go any further, maybe you can give us some background into Lavanya Arts and its sister social enterprises.
Okay, sure. First, let me start off with the Temple of Fine Arts because we're associated with it. Temple of Fine Arts by itself is a non-profit organization. It was founded by a person called Shantanand Saraswati, and his vision was to keep the traditional arts alive. Mm. So what started was initially dance and music, and later we grew to the birth of the sister organization such as Lavanya Arts, which is the visual arts of the Temple of Fine Arts. Then we have Anilakshmi, which is the fine dining vegetarian cuisine restaurant, and Hamsavani, which is the tours and travel agency. So as for Lavanya Arts, all our art and crafts are sourced from India. We travel to many places, many remote places to meet artisans, and we meet artisans who have a passion towards their craft. And so that's how Lavanya Arts was born, because we want to support these artisans. And we want to keep the traditional craft alive. And in addition to that, we also support the underprivileged ladies by teaching them how to sew and also do embroidery. So all our clothes here come from India, and these are the ladies who are sewing it. And we also support our clinic, which is called Dharma Shubha Shanta, which is around here also in Brickfields, around the bend. And we treat the poor for free. And profits from Lavanya Arts are used for charitable activities. And so do our sister enterprise. They too support in the same way.
Right. So Lavanya Arts and its sister companies are all social enterprises. And like you mentioned, you work with artisans from India, the underprivileged women in India. Is there anyone else that your profits aid? And how much of aid are we talking about here?
It depends on the year's sales. But normally it goes anywhere between 10 to 15% of our sales goes. We channel it out to the organization because other than that, we've got overheads to look into. Like, for example, this building is under a loan. So all of us support by paying to meet the loan amount every month. Like Anilakshmi, they give food, you know, free for the orphanages and the poor, you know, on a regular basis.
What about Hamsavahini?
Hamsavahini, right now, because of the COVID, there's really no business at the moment. So right now we are waiting for all this to be over so that they can. They are trying to do something online, like having little tours within the country. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, that also is being, you know, is obstacle because of the CMCO and stuff like that.
Right.
But they are doing best by making their presence online right now.
So Jayashree, when I called you and approached you about doing this interview, you mentioned that all three sister social enterprises have been profitable businesses for a while now, correct?
Yes, Lavanya Arts, yes, and Hamsavahini. The travel agency were kind of break-even, let me put it that way, because they are small and, you know, there are only about, they are working hard in trying to get their presence online.
Right. And what about Anilakshmi?
Anilakshmi, at the moment, it's surviving because of the COVID. And they are doing all kinds of things to at least stay afloat right now. Initially, of course, it was always profitable until this year. Because also they have many staff that they have to, you know, continue paying their salary, you see. So it took a dip this year, but somehow they're able to survive with whatever that they have saved over the years, plus also with whatever loan that they can gather from our sister organization and also from the people, you know, that is part of the organization.
So is the impact from COVID-19 and the lockdowns purely down to less footfall at Lavanya Arts and at Anna Lakshmi?
Yes. I think the worst affected, of course, is the travel and tour agency. Secondly, Anna Lakshmi was also deeply affected. Initially, because of a 3-month lockdown, they had no business at all. Then when we opened in May, it slowly picked up. And it was at a point where it was picking up very well, and then until again the CMCO started about, 1 month ago or something like that.
Right.
But business is not as what it used to be, but somehow they're doing, you know, different things to make some money. And as for Lavanya Arts, we have a database of customers, about over 2,000 to 3,000 people, and they have been regularly coming and supporting us. So somehow at Lavanya Arts, we managed to continue and make a profit, and this is because of our, you know, loyal customers who love our products and who also will come and buy during our promotion, you know. They will always support us.
Maybe you can give us an idea of what it's usually like during this time at Lavanya Art. What is the typical Deepavali season like? I would imagine it would be your peak season, right?
Yes, it is our peak season. And Deepavali normally is celebrated in a promotion which we call Deepa Kalanjali. And Deepa Kalanjali is normally 1 month before Deepavali. So we just celebrated it on October the 8th, we started. And we give a discount during that period until the eve of Deepavali. For the 4 days, our promotion, that is 8 to the 11th, was really good. We had all our customers buying lots of things. We brought in gifts, artifacts, furniture, clothes. And till today, there are people walking in and buying. And we have done reasonably well compared to the, you know, COVID period. We have done reasonably well. Because promotion that we rely on for our sustenance.
Right. And so, like, there hasn't really been an impact to your supply chain, you know, like bringing in these artifacts, these saris, these products from India, importing them from India.
It was challenging, but since we have been, you know, in business for the last, I think, 30-odd years, so we have kind of have suppliers whom we can rely on for the gift items or the furniture we have. So what we do is we contact them and we make the effort to make sure we communicate with them regularly to ensure all our products are put together. And what we did was we told them to take a container just for our products. So we managed to put all the products into one container and it came here within the time period.
And I'm also just trying to understand the logistics behind this, because I understand that your products come from across the great state of India, like from all over, right? From north to south. So how do you then, get all your goods together and put it in that one container? What was communication and trying to work out the logistics for that like?
It wasn't easy, but the products that we brought this time during the COVID period, most of them were from the north. So we have a contact in the north who has the import-export license. So he was able to contact all our other suppliers and they brought all their stuff to one area where the container is kept. And he managed to ensure that all the goods went into the container. The container was big enough to take in all the goods. And that is how it came here in time.
Right.
So it was challenging. It was a bit difficult because across states also they need, you know, you know, in India, you need all kinds of permission, you see, and paperwork done. So we started off early. That's one thing good. We started off in July, our purchases. And that too, we did on WhatsApp video, our purchases.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I guess if you have the right people on the other side working towards a greater goal, then it makes it that much easier.
That's true. That's true. That's very true. Yes. In India, because it's not easy dealing with people in India. You are absolutely right. We have the right people over there.
All right, it's time for a break. When we come back, we discuss the impact of COVID-19 on the artisans and cottage industry workers in India and the cascading effects on Lavanya Arts ahead of Deepavali. Stay tuned to Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Welcome back to Open for Business. I'm Audrey Raj. Jayashree Gopala Iyer from Lavanya Arts is on the phone with me right now, and we are discussing how the Visual Arts Center of the Temple of Fine Arts is continuing to champion the living and timeless traditions of Indian handicraft despite the pandemic. Jayashree, how do you source for your pieces? What kind of pieces do you carry? And like we spoke about before the break, you carry products from all over India. So how do you manage the selection and the curation of your pieces? And how have you been doing it for all these years?
Okay, this is how we do it. Every year, before we plan the year before as to what we're going to buy the following year. So let's say we plan to go to north like Calcutta. Then we just stick to the areas on the north. Or if we decide we want to go to south, like for example Chennai, then we stick to the states in the south. So that is how our purchases have been. So we decide what kind of items we want. As for gifts and furniture, they come from the north because we have our supplier, which is a huge supplier, and they carry really good items. So we stick for gift items and for furniture, we stick to our supplier. But for other items, those which are unique and those handcrafted items, we have to personally go. And these people from the village, what they do is they have a kind of an outlet where the government, it's a government-sponsored place, where like a bazaar, where they have their own items displayed. So we go there personally, we look at the items, and then we decide from there, and that's how we build relationships. And that's how we buy things from them. So this has been going on like that. And we go to very remote places, unbelievable. But somehow we manage it because we just love doing it.
Right. And how do you then choose the artisans or the group of underprivileged women to support? Is it based on the craft?
Yes, it's based on the craft. As for the underprivileged women, that came about in... because underprivileged women that we are helping are those who are... doing the craft, like for example, embroidery on the clothes, or so stitching our clothes, like the kurta and the kurtis and the girls' pawade and the boys, you know, tops. So we realized that these underprivileged women had nowhere to go. And so we realized that we need to provide them some skills. That's how it all started. Taught them how to sew, taught them how to do embroidery. And that's how the whole unit, it's a cottage industry. So that's how the whole unit survived.
Right. Now, I'm just wondering about how you ensure that every person involved in every step of the process in bringing these items back to Malaysia from India, how these people are compensated accordingly. Because it's an ecosystem, right? You've got the artisans, you've got your underprivileged women who are creating these crafts. And then, of course, you've got the people who, well, transport all of this. And then those who are helping to import it to Malaysia. How do you ensure that everyone in this ecosystem is supported in the process?
Okay, one on the cottage industry, that means our clothes, that is a regular thing. We import from them about 3 to 4 times in a year. And so that's a separate entity by itself. We have someone from Malaysia who's a doctor who went to India, and she's based there and she looks after the unit over there.
Right.
Other than the hospital also, there's a little hospital there too. So she takes care of that part of it. So she sustains the women and, you know, pays them accordingly to what they do, you know, either piecemeal or monthly. So they rely on her over there. And we ensure that we support that unit. As for the other items at the art and crafts, we go there, we look at items. And when we look also, we look at the beauty of it. And then we decide for ourselves, you see. And the artisans, there are some artisans, that, especially the sculptors and all that, who do the woodwork. We go out to the village, we look at that, and we decide there and then whatever that they display there, we buy it off from them. And that's how we transfer. So we ensure that this is done every time when we make a trip to India, which we make twice in a year. We have always been making it twice, one in April and another time we make it in August, July, August.
Right.
So it is an effort on our part to ensure that we go straight to the artisans and not the middlemen.
Right.
Because we want the artisans to get the money because they do such hard work and they're so passionate about their work that they should be able to get enough to support their family, you see. So this is a dying craft right now. The youngsters, the young, their children and all don't want to do that work anymore because they find it too difficult and it doesn't give them enough money. So it's very sad, but anyway, we do our best. We do whatever deal that we can do.
How do you then decide on the pricing for these items? Because maybe in India, they are mass-produced, but then here in Malaysia, they have a novelty, right? It's not something that's easily available. How do you then price these items or choose a price point for these items?
The price point actually has already been established by our founder, Shantanan Saraswati.
Mm-hmm.
He has already advised us what needs to be done because his aim is just to ensure that people in Malaysia, whether it's Indians or non-Indians, can appreciate these products and have that in their home and be happy to own a product from India or from these artisans.
Right.
So we don't mark up as what a social, what a normal business entity marks up out there, but we mark up an amount that is enough to cover our overheads and do a little charity at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Right. You have a built-in pricing infrastructure, I understand.
That's right, the built-in pricing system, yeah.
Okay. And you mentioned earlier about helping Malaysians here understand where these pieces are from, where these crafts are from. What is the education process like for your customers? You know, for each piece, how do you explain to them the significance of these pieces and where they're from?
For example, okay, let's take an example like a sari. You have what we call a bandhani sari. A bandhani sari, the work that goes into a bandhani sari is called tie and dye.
Mm-hmm.
So we explain to them that way. We give them a little knowledge or we put that on Facebook or something like that. So they try to understand like the process of making that sari itself can take up to 1 week or 10 days. So these are little things that we want to educate the people so that they understand the value of the item that they are buying.
Right. Jayashree, I'm curious to know if, you know, based on your interactions with the artisans and the women that you deal with who create your pieces in India, how has COVID-19 impacted them and the way they work?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it has impacted them really badly. That is why the person who went from here to from Malaysia to India there is looking after them and she ensures that we ordered from them regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And at least if one person can bring in some income to the family, it will help them in some, you know, in some ways at least. So that is the reason why we still continue supporting them. It has been tough. Of course, they have to take a pay, you know, a cut in their salary, but somehow, you know, they're able to, you know, either break even or just survive.
Right.
It is really tough in India. It's really, really tough. But we pray and hope that, you know, we're doing the best for them. That's all we can do. Whatever little that we can do, we hope that that's enough for them. So far it is. That's what the lady says. I mean, the lady who's looking after them says, so far they're able to survive. So.
And all these difficulties aside, COVID-19, the lack of footfall with the sister social enterprises, are there other challenges that you faced this year, specifically running Lavanya Arts?
Yeah, we did, because many of them who were either outstationed, they didn't want to travel down because of the CMCO and stuff like that.
Mm.
So many of them asked us, you know, do you have anything online and stuff like that?
Right.
We only have Facebook and we only have done Facebook and Instagram marketing. So this is something new. I mean, of course, we had the notion of getting online, but we haven't really got into it yet fully.
Mm.
So this was a real challenge. So we did sell them through WhatsApp video and through photographs. So that was really challenging. So we really decided that we have no choice but to go online.
So there are plans to take Lavanya Arts online?
Definitely, definitely. Basically, there's no choice. We have to go that way because, as you can see, many companies around the world are closing down.
Yeah, yeah. And is there a timeline for this for the execution?
Yeah, I think by next year we should be ready to go, you know, fully online.
Jayashree, you know, are there any lessons that you will take away from 2020, you know, business lessons that will stay with you and shape the way you run Lavanya Arts?
Yeah, I think that 2020 has been a challenging period. One, it's a learn to survive. And thank God for us, our people, many are volunteers. So in that way, we can survive. And two, learning to move faster on the e-commerce platform. And we have to educate our customers. And also, at the same time, we have to work hard and persevere even harder this time because of the COVID period. And understand our customers that they too are going through tough times. But because they are loyal and because they love our items, they know we have quality products here at a very reasonable price, they still come and support us. And so 2020 will be a lesson for us basically to go online. That is the main lesson we take from it. Plus also to ensure that we keep our costs down to survive if any sort of this period, you know, recurs again in the future.
Right. Going digital is a big lesson for many businesses in 2020.
Correct.
And just before I let you go, Jayashree, do you have a message for our listeners ahead of Deepavali this weekend? The first lockdown Deepavali or CMCO Deepavali we've had?
Yeah, I would like to wish everyone a very prosperous and happy Deepavali. And even though, you know, it's the COVID period, I would still love to them to enjoy themselves and remember that whatever that they have, little food in their table, it's a blessing. Mm-hmm. And also, I would like to thank all our customers who came and supported us. And that it is vital that they know that they not only supported us, but they also supported the craftsmen and women who are doing all these items. So that is my message.
Thank you so much, Jayashree.
Yeah, thank you.
I've been speaking with Jayashree Gopala Iyer from Lavanya Arts. Now, if you missed out on any part of this show, the podcast of this interview will be up on our website within the hour. You can also search for the podcast on the BFM app, on iTunes, and on Spotify. Now, before I sign off, on behalf of Frida, Rich, Christine, Arvin, our intern Ali, and of course myself, Audrey Raj, the Enterprise team would like to wish everyone celebrating a beautiful and safe Deepavali. Now, keep those masks on, wash your hands, but please do continue to have a wonderful weekend ahead. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.